waiting for a hot spot.
Beep tonight.
They love it. They love it.
They don't.
They do listen to us.
That was you clicking the button.
Oh, my bad. Thought I'd get away with it.
No, you never get away with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Herbal Synergies, the shop. I'm your host, Sinji. With me, as always, my co-host, Herby.
What's up, peoples?
What's up, Herby? You know what just dawned on me?
What?
We missed last week.
So?
I don't think I read the second...
There's only one of Jujutsu.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
The next one comes out in 16 hours.
Did I read the... Did I read that one, though? Because usually I save it towards, like, recording day. I don't think I did.
Well, that's all right.
That's all right. I'm skimming it. Go ahead and talk about it. Well, actually, what's your flavor?
It came from Jujutsu.
Oh, really? I'm looking at it now. What was it?
Yeah. Pretty much just the fighting in there. And then I'll talk about later, but I was like, oh, man, the fights. I was like, yeah, it's looking all right. So, wasn't too bad. Another one was Thorfinn. He's out there just jumping around, training. Spellblades was a decent episode. Legend of Hero was satire that we may have needed, but you know. So, all in all, some decent episodes. I was excited to see what happens next in Jujutsu next week. Yeah, it's coming in 15 hours, baby.
I don't know if I have a flavor per se, but I will say I was amazed that the drunkard priest from Vinland was so young.
Yeah, that man cleaned up nicely.
That was my amazement.
Yeah, I could believe it. I was like, oh, man. So... yeah, the young people looking old and haggard. I guess that shows you like the old school war and what it effect it takes on like having the folks there, the Vikings and all the such. So, but yeah, that was that. So I guess we'll get into some Legendary Hero is Dead to start off with.
Sure.
Yeah. Legendary Hero Season 1, Episode 11, The Legendary Hero Fights to the Death. So the people that took his fighting, they find out that he's in the hideout. And he asks Mila to distract him for a little while. And then it turns out that all devils are perverts. Because somehow they spat some goo at her and like melted all her clothes, and then like, oh, let's chase her. And it's like, what? Yeah, I was like, oh man. So, and it also was funny how Marguerite was like, oh, I have to do what to do to help Saratoga out, and she strips out too, and they just take off running to delay them. And this is where we find out Mori style that Frederick was a North Star. He is Henri's brother. So I was like, oh, man.
Oni-chan.
Yeah. So that was a one. But then you could tell that they're related because he has the same snot condition as well. So I was like, oh, yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, it might have been a giveaway if we thought about it.
Yeah, I mean, he could have just had a cold at the time. So, I mean, don't think anything about it.
Could've.
Yeah, so then, we find out that Frederick doesn't actually want to, like, kill humans. He just wants to depose the royals, like, cut the head off and hold them accountable for things. And that necromancers don't feel the same way when someone dies. Henri gave the whole story of how she was like sad for instant that Shion was dead, and then she like went away because he was a necromancer. So I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
That's how that works.
Yeah, because like they don't view death the same way as, I guess, as other folks. So. Yeah, so I mean, it all makes sense. I guess it's more so because they can resurrect their dead. So, no fault in her there. And so then Diego shows up and he eats the Annabelle later, the creature that was holding Yuna hostage. So this is where we flash back to Yuna's dad, and he's following Marguerite and Mila, and he's like, he's so enthralled by them running, and then the lady runs him over, driving the carriage. I was like, oof, got him. He's like, oh, just keep running. We'll take care of it here. And he's like, you didn't have to run me over. I was like, yeah, she did, because you should not have been running down there, my guy.
You're a pervert.
To the eighth degree. So then it happens. And Toka challenges Diego to one-on-one fight. Frederick's like, she's like, no, I'm not going to give him back the sword, because Toko's like, yeah, I want the sword. We're going to fight over there up on that ridge and this, that, and the other. And Fred's like, no, you know he doesn't play fair. Like, why would I give him back the sword? He's like, I'm going to give him back the sword. And he's like, yeah, here's the sword. So, but it was all just a ploy. He sets the ground stage up. And meanwhile, while he was saying that, oh, we're going to fight up there on the ridge over there and falling to the bottom, that was letting his master know to set up the ground stage with all the traps. And I was like, oh, man. All right. You did it. Set it up. You're defeating him. And so then Frederick, like, jumps into action as well, and they start fighting. And then they Tesla Toka. He uses his lightning ability, and he just messes up Diego. But it doesn't really work for some reason, but it's due to the absorption magic, he tells him. So then he regroups to figure out what to do. Yeah, they don't know how they're going to defeat him. They recall that he was defeated before that particular monster in the instance, because Diego took over someone's body, and the hero had defeated the monster before. So they're trying to recall how Shion did it before. And then we find out that Shion had split the sword into different lengths and features to defeat him, because you can't absorb the attacks with what you can't see. So it was pretty funny. This is another funny part, too. He was like, oh, you ready for my big old sword? I was like, okay, that's funny. I got to give it to you, Toke, on that one. But so the whole strategy was, Yuna would tell him where to strike and what to strike and what areas. And since he's the only one that can see Yuna, no one can like count his swords. So he starts striking back, starts getting them. And so this is when he got the side effect of the summon drops that he's been taking lately. And he's like bleeding out the nose and he faints. And I'm like, oh man, my man's gonna go down. He's about to take more because, like, we gotta finish it. And which is kind of weird because I feel like since it's just not his actual body, like, and the hero's body has a whole bunch of mana anyway. So why is he affected by the summer drops?
Well, the hero's body had mana, but I think the mana is connected to the soul because he didn't have mana. And in the beginning of the show, when he was a skeleton, it was going off of his mana, not the hero's mana.
Yeah, I feel it, but you know, I feel like the hero body, he should be bleeding.
I feel like, so here's what's up. I feel like, now that you mentioned that, I feel like this is kind of a plot hole, because why is he able to sustain Why is he able to use Yuna's magic ability, but not able to use the original hero's magic ability?
What ability did he use of Yuna's?
No, I mean, like, when he was in Yuna's body, he had sufficient magic to be able to control the sword and all that.
Yeah, that's just, I feel like now that you say that, that's just an oversight that they did.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't thinking too much. But yeah, I guess I could live with that. But anyhow, I was like, oh man. So then Kyle Osmond shows up to fight. And they are buying time until Toga regains consciousness to continue the battle. So, good one all in all. Ain't too mad at it.
Gotta save Yuna.
Yeah, gots to save her. Not much you can do there. But keep chugging away, keep fighting, keep chugging on along. Back
to space. Chugging on along.
You can chug all along. Chug a pot of moose.
So, was there a Boruto chapter, or did we already talk about that?
There was not a Boruto chapter.
Okay, so we already talked about, I'm thinking about one we already talked about.
Yeah.
Guys, I am so unorganized.
Comes in 14 days.
Oh, 2 weeks. Nice.
Yeah.
You know what we don't have to wait 14 days for?
What?
This freaking solo leveling episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you say so, my guy. You're real happy for it.
I am stoked.
Me too.
Lies.
Are you?
Am I what?
Stoked.
I am.
I mean, you already know what happens.
Yes, but now you get to see in its beauty. Listen. There are a lot of shows that we read, and I'm just like, the anime, the season comes out, I'm just like, I don't really need to watch it. Demon Slayer is one of them. Jujutsu is one of them. Tower of God was one of them. I didn't finish watching Tower of God. I read Tower of God. And since the art on the paper was good enough for me and it got better over time, I figured, why watch it already? You know? Solo Leveling is not one of those for me. I have consumed that story in every way possible. I've bought it in every way possible. I will watch it every way possible. And I will buy the DVD. I will buy the DVDs.
Yeah, you can do that, dog.
I probably won't buy the DVDs. I'll probably buy it on my phone. But I will have the content readily available at all times.
If you say so. But, yeah, it's not too bad, I guess. All right, continue, sir. That's enough out of you.
With what?
Peanut Gallery. Whatever you got to say.
That's what I had to say.
All right. Well, you got something else to say about Villain Saga now.
Do Jujutsu first.
Nah.
I went on my rant.
Later. Nah. There's no time for Jujutsu.
No time for Jujutsu?
There's no time in the old country. Nah, Jujutsu, it was... we had ended with... Higurama, he survives the attack due to the domain being weaker and they took away some of Sukuna's powers. They then talk about Sukuna's like slicing abilities, his attack, one that like he can cut through stuff like space and time or something, or slash, which he calls dismantle, and cleave is like something that like is a short range slash that like blows everything up. And so they start fighting, and the man Chozo, the blood shooter guy, he comes up, and Sukuna just like spears him through the body, and Yuji's like, she's like, oh no, Chozo! I was like, ooh, Gord dead.
Yep.
And then so they're still formulating a plan to still attack Sukuna, They know that they got the death sentence, and apparently, if they kill Sukuna, Megumi's soul could be spared, and he can have his body back because of the ability of the Life Sword. So yeah, and at the end, my man Sukuna was amazed by Higurama. He's like, oh, because they gave the whole synopsis of, oh, he just awakened as a sorcerer not too long ago, and his abilities have steadily been climbing and this, that, and the other. And he's like, oh, he has great potential like Satoru Gojo. And I was like, what? Say less. And so I would like to see his progression. But he may end up dying because he had said that he would be willing and ready to die if that made me to have Sukuna die.
I was going to say, that's some high praise right there.
Yeah.
From the King of Curses.
Yes. So I was like, man, hopefully he does. He can get out there and, you know, defeat Sukuna. But
to be continued.
Yeah, who knows?
Did you say a chapter is coming out in 16 hours or something like that?
15 hours now.
Jujutsu comes out on Fridays now?
No, I think it was because the holiday and the new year, things got kind of jacked up. Well, not really jacked up, but like...
I gotcha. So different. Some other things that normally come out on Sunday might come out Friday as well. Well, probably not.
Probably not, but I think that's just the way that they're doing it this week. Like, oh, we let the people wait long enough. So.
By the way, since we're on the topic of, like, things coming out and stuff like that and on Jujutsu, do you believe all the things that, like, I don't know if you read this stuff, but, like, I have paid attention to it. Like, do you think MAPPA is overworking their animators?
Of course. Like, you know, I feel like there was a point in time where, like, they would do 13 episodes first, and then they would just, like, start releasing one, like, start working on an episode, like, once a week to do them, if that makes sense. So it wouldn't be, like, they would release 1 of 13, and then they just start working on episodes. So they always have like a backlog in the episodes.
I don't know. I guess in my head, I was just like, if they feel overworked, why don't they just leave? There are plenty of like up and coming animation studios that would probably welcome the experience, but. So, like, I don't know. Maybe, like, they are overworked, but maybe it's kind of, like, voluntary?
I wouldn't say anything's voluntary. I mean, when you got to show up and you got to get your check, they're going to treat you however they want to treat you to get their product out.
True.
So, I wouldn't say that, but, yeah, it's possible. If they're saying overworked, then they're overworked. You always listen to your employees.
Touche, but I have coworkers that say that, and let me tell you, it's far from true.
But see, you probably can look at their body of work and be like, yeah, you're lying. But like when you're looking at the animation stuff, that's evident, you know.
Yeah, no, MAPPA does great animation work. Yeah. There's no ands or buts about that. I was just wondering, like, they're kind of like in my head, like they still work there. So like, how overworked are they?
They probably don't have a choice. They need that check.
Probably.
And, hiring process could be extensive with certain things, so they're probably like, And they might just be too tired to go look for new jobs.
I started at the bottom, now I'm back.
Yeah. Started at the bottom, now the whole team here.
Shall we get into some Vinland?
See.
All right, now, I wanted to rewatch this episode because I watched it last week, but time escaped me today from
foreseen circumstances.
Yes, great, great words that you took out of my mouth.
Yes.
But I do remember it not being like a very content heavy episode. It was kind of just like confrontations and like planning. So I'm gonna recap to the best of my abilities, and then Irby is as always will.
I'll learn everything that you miss, because you're gonna miss a whole bunch of stuff.
How fucking dare you? Okay, could you at least like pretend that maybe possibly?
No, I can't pretend.
Understandable. It's not my nature.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay, well, could you tell me what episode this is? It's like 22, 20.
It is 20? 20. Episode title is Crown.
20 and Crown. Okay. So, if I recall correctly, we start the episode with Canute leading Askeladd and all of them to the kingdom where his father is, King Swain. Floki is preparing for attack because he received word that Thorkell is now under the command of Canute and they're on their way, and he thought it was a false report. 100% they're getting attacked. They need to get ready. And when Canute shows up with Thorkell actually under his control, Floki was flustered, and Canute, with his new kingly behavior.
Kingly aura.
Aura, yes. Which he still doesn't really have the face for it, but it's fine.
I think that's more so just because he's like young and he doesn't have the
he's got kind of like feminine features too.
Yeah, he's not quite yet haggard, because I feel like he's only like what, still a boy-ish, like 14.
Yeah, he's probably not. He's definitely younger than 20.
Yeah.
So he calls out Floki. He's like, "Is this how you welcome the family of the royal?" The royal family or whatever, a member of the royal family. And like Floki is flustered and is like, "Move aside, I'm going to see King Swain," or blah blah blah, and lets him through. Now at this point, let me say I'm a fan of character development. Like my favorite things in Tokyo Ghoul is seeing how Kaneki changed. I feel like Canute's change was too drastic too quickly. So I'm not 100% behind it.
I mean, is it drastic though? Because he was changing before.
He wasn't though.
He was. Because if you look at it, he was. When, oh boy, what's his name? Thorfinn. He was opening up to Thorfinn, and then he was being more talkative about the stuff, and he grew some backbones at some time, but it wasn't like...
Yeah, but that was...
I might say it was abrupt, but...
Yeah, that was just like the one time with Thorfinn. I guess he got comfortable with Thorfinn, but like he wasn't exactly... Like he went right back to being timid Canute after that. And it wasn't until like after he had his revelation while Thorkell was making his move and Askeladd's men betrayed him and blah blah blah. But I mean, I still feel like it was kind of drastic and a little the creator's kind of just trying to shove new Canute down your throat, but it's fine.
I don't think so. I think it was adequately done.
You think so?
Because he saw the change happening, because he was like, "Oh, I just want to live with Ragnar." The episode of Ragnar happened, and then he was like, "Oh, yeah." And then the episode after that is when his new death stare kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I mean, whatever it is what it is at the moment, because it cannot be undone.
You're right.
So, moving on. I know I'm gonna miss some chains of events here. So walking towards the king, I mean, we're still with Thorkell, and all that. Canute tells Thorkell to like drink with the locals. They need more people on their side, so Thorkell needs to get friendly with people. He needs to recruit people, and they go to see the king. Now, as soon as they enter, Thorfinn and Askeladd notice that, like, they had archers, it's an ambush, like, might not walk out of this, we need to be careful. And Canute tells them, like, we can't be the first to draw our weapons here.
Yeah, he was like, it's a war of attrition, or he said it's a war of wills, is what he said, because, if you draw your weapon, we lose.
Yeah, so, Canute and King Swain have their conversation. Askeladd was trying to get a good look at his face, but he told him to, like, stop walking at a certain point and told Canute to walk forward. And to Askeladd, the King Swain looked tired. He looked just, like, bored of this life. He had no, like, will of his own at this point. So at this point, Canute and King Swain are talking back and forth. And Canute actually, he gets a little ballsy in this conversation. He just, like, straight up says, like, you tried to kill me on the battlefield, but, like, it failed. And King Swain doubled down, too, and, like, brought out his, everybody he had in wait on the ambush. So, Askeladd jumped in and was like, hey, you can't kill him. He's the guy who saved or stopped London by himself or something like that, and, like, recruited Thorkell. And, like, you have to reward that. You seem like a reasonable man, a reasonable king. And Askeladd, I don't think King Swain was going to do it anyway. Maybe Canute was right when he said that a little later. But Askeladd did have some influence on King Swain. So he exits, and King Swain was actually impressed with Askeladd and figured he was a smart man. And Prince Canute, Askeladd told Prince Canute, like, shouldn't provoke him. And that's when Canute smirks and says, King Swain is a wise king. He's not gonna take action without justification first. He's a just king, I think he said.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that confrontation went. And I think as far as I know, from there on we end up at the bar where Thorkell's drinking. We see young priest without his beard, his freaking 50-year-old man beard. He's actually freaking 23. Thorkell starts drinking with him. Askeladd and Canute are talking, and Canute's asking Askeladd, will he be able to kill King Swain? Askeladd gives his honest opinion and says, King Swain seems like a smart man. He seems like he has a mind for war, and then he's going to be a very tough opponent, but that's his opinion of him. Canute, Ragnar's brother, whose name I forgot, Luznar or something like that.
Donner.
That guy.
You said Luznar.
He approaches Canute, greets him. He's got all this energy, and Canute was kind of cold-hearted the way he told him that his brother died, and, like, the dude's trying to process it, and Canute's just like, all right, moving on. And, like, dude's still trying to process it, and he's just like, you have to be the eyes on the king and whatnot for us this to work. And he's like, maybe we shouldn't talk about this here. He's like, nah, it's actually the perfect place to talk about it in secret. So he didn't even give Ragnar's brother time to grieve. It was kind of just like, we gotta move on. It is what it is. You have a job to do. Get to it. So Askeladd walks outside. He's pissing. Thorfinn is going ham on the combos on a bucket that's hanging from a tree, and he finishes off with a super roundhouse kick. Or would it be a spinning axe kick? What would you call that kick?
I don't know. He just kicked the thing.
He kicked it. He kicked the thing hard and broke.
Yeah.
at that point, the traitors walked out. The traitor brothers walked out. And one's still not mentally there because Dorco scared the fuck shit out of him. And the one dude said he's going to go home. He doesn't care, but he doesn't feel right. He betrayed him and like doesn't feel right sticking around. And Askeladd gave him a golden bracelet, said, "You can have this as long as you never pick up a sword again. It doesn't suit you. Go raise some sheep, find a wife, die in bed, and be merry."
Yep.
I think something happened at the end, but I don't remember.
It did happen at the end.
Okay.
Let me go clean up everything that you missed, because you missed a whole...
How fucking dare you? How dare you? A whole bunch of stuff is a bit much, I feel like.
How you not take care of the stuff?
Listen, a whole bunch seems like a lot.
All right, let's start at the beginning.
Hold on. Start at the beginning.
So I think this whole exchange with the king, let me fill in a little bit of details there. So, yeah, he wants him to kneel before him, which I get. He's the king. Then he chalk it up some small talk. He asks about Ragnar. They tell him he's dead. And they talk about why Canute's there. And the king knows why Canute's there. Canute wants to kill him and take the crown.
He even mentions that too. He had balls enough to say that. Like, I am your son, so you tell me why I'm here.
Yeah. And so the king was like, I did the same thing when I was your age. And he's like, we're so much alike, more than you think, and this, that, and the other. I was like, oh, okay. And so his father was a tyrant too. So he did the same thing, take it from him because he thought he could do it better.
Ooh, Irby. Mention the thing with the crown.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to mention.
Okay.
Because I feel like that was worth saying in there.
I agree.
So, yeah, he thought he could do things better. Then he talks about how the crown has a mind of its own. And this is Canute's like, oh, so did the crown tell you to kill your own son? I was like, ooh, okay.
That, yeah, that's when he confronted it.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, there's two rules, like... You have to follow, increase the power and influence of the crown. And he's like, there's no resisting its call. And he's like, oh, the crown doesn't want you to wear it. But this at this point, it sounds like that's just a senile old man that doesn't want to be pushed out by the young bull coming up. So then this is when he gives an ultimatum. I'll give you a piece of Cornwall if you just leave out of here and you won't die. But he's like, he refuses, which is all part of his game here. And I was like, okay. All right. And then Askeladd asked to speak, which he said earlier, and he's like, reconsider. He's like, he has Thorkell, and he'll get most of London if he just does it. And he's like, oh, you make much sense here. And then he's like, oh, what's your name? And he's like, oh, Askeladd. He's like, oh, covered in ash or something. What's his name? And he's like, who's your... what's your last name or whatever? And he's like, oh, no last name. He's like, oh, he's like, you must be a proud of a mistress or a slave. And that just made Askeladd have murderous intent.
And Thorfinn took notice on that. Actually, King Swain was making it seem like he knew who Askeladd's dad was.
I think he does. Like, it strikes a chord with him, I think, but he might... not really, he might know, but he doesn't have an idea. He can't place it yet, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I think he knows something. He's like, I gotta be wary around that one. He's crafty and whatever. So yeah. So that happens. Yeah, just talk about Gunnar's brother. He also asks his worry of Gunnar because he thinks he's not quite loyal enough. And so then he talks about Bjorn, and I'm glad he's dead, and I'm tired of listening to you butcher his name.
He ain't dead yet.
Yeah, they say he's not going to make it, though. Not much you can do about a slice. I'm like, yeah, finally. That's my first thought. I don't have to listen to Butchers and Dave anymore.
Bjorn.
Bjorn.
Bjorn? Is the J yeah. silent?
It merges with the B. How it's supposed to be when real Scandinavians say it, but you know. But that's all right. It's not here or there.
Do I look Scandinavian?
I don't know. Are you from Finland? That's how they Scandinavian.
I don't think so. Shut the where is it?
No, but yeah. But the end was just like a slave woman, which I think that's going to foreshadow something. I'm not sure where it fits in and what it fits into exactly. But I feel like it's either that was Askeladd's mother being bought and or sold, or Askeladd is going to like buy that woman or something. I don't know. Something, it foreshadows something. So that was that. Yeah, it's officially plugged in all the holes there.
You know what? I didn't see too many holes.
I saw a whole bunch of glaring holes, baby.
It wasn't too many holes to me. I'm just saying.
That's all right. Well, anyhow, we're on to Reign of the Seven Spellblades.
Let's
season
do
one,
it.
Episode 13, Noisy Forest. So my man Carlos Whitlow recounts the first meeting with Ophelia, and she's afraid because she makes most men go crazy due to her succubus powers, and the men can't really be around her for too long. So I was like, huh, I see. But yeah, so Carlos is kind of like Pete and won't affect him though because he can change his sex at will. And then the group starts to march in the labyrinth. And then march through doing the group stuff, celebrating, exploring Nodora. So then they stop for lunch because Nanal is pretty hungry. And Oliver goes to fetch us some water, and he talks to his consort. Forget her name. But her orders are to bring back him per his family. Yeah, Kars. Yeah, per the family orders, they want to bring him back. He's like, no. She's like, well, just keep an eye out on the forest. Make sure nothing gets us. Nothing too bad. She's like, okay, she'll do that. So like, she's going ahead, killing the stuff, and they make an observation like, oh, we haven't came across much things that were giving us trouble. So I'm like, yeah, because she's been killing them all. And she also had told Oliver that the next target after Greenville is becoming available. I'm like, who's the next target? So I'm like, man, that's pretty. Can't wait to see who it is. So then Milligan, they go to an area and they're like, oh, be careful here. This is a creature called the Westsider's Lair. And then he shows up. And Milligan tried to scare it off, but now Milligan's efforts were unsuccessful, and she was going to end up killing it. But now it's like, oh no, let me just talk to her. So she pulls a Doolittle, and she gets it to leave that and let them pass without the bloodshed. She essentially like talks to him. It's like, oh yeah, Katie told me that if you just come with no ill intent, they could sense it, and they don't see you as a threat, and they'll let you go. And then so we flash to Stace and Lynette, and they're in the labyrinth. They're going to go get Frey, her pet that she has. So they're going to get him. They're sneaking around, and then a praying mantis creature comes to see Oliver's group and cuts off the great ape's head. I'm like, man, y'all could have just killed it. It was going to die anyway. Got some experience points.
They didn't want to.
Yeah, so then they start fighting the mantis, and the Nanal cuts off a leg, and it just regenerates, and they open up a weak point area. And Alva goes to attack it. And he gets sprayed by needles. I'm like, oh no, he's about to die. But like, no, but he's the guy that's supposed to kill everyone, so he's not going to die. So how is he getting out of this? And so he had took a piece of the scale and like blocked her from hitting. Well, the mantis. I don't know if it's a mantis, if it's a female or not. You could say it's female because it took a head off. So they continue to advance. And so they fight and they end up beating it. And Milligan's like, oh, they're back to, they beat it. They set up camp and they're like, oh, why do you want to save Pete? And he essentially tells them that, you know, he tries to save, he joined them in when they were trying to save Katie, when that creature came through, the troll. He's like, yeah, he must have been so scared. He wasn't one of us. He was a normal person, per se, from a normal family, no lineage. He's like, yeah, but, you know, I still respect the man. And this, that, and the other.
Because he made a tent.
Yeah. And then so he gets to talking about, Milligan starts talking to him about, yeah, like, I get now strength and Shelly's strength, but she's like, what happened to you to cause your strength? Like, on paper, you know, you're nothing special, but there's something must happen that caused you to get super strong. And I was like, huh, yeah. And she's like, oh, well, if I overstep my boundaries, I'm sorry, but, you know, I'll stop talking about it. And so then flashed all bright, he's awakening, and he figures out Pete's secret. At this point, I was like, oh, God. Oh, what is he doing? Oh. Essentially, he stabbed himself in the side, in the stomach, and he pulled out three orbs that he ripped out of his body. One's an explosive, one's a smoke bomb, and the other one's is like a beacon. He's like, use them at the right time. He's like, what's your name? What's your name, guy? He's like, oh, I'm Pete Reston. And so then the episode ends.
Now, I feel like he could have had those three items in a much more less fatal part of his body.
I feel like he could have did it in like a leg or a calf.
Right? Because the balls aren't that big, bro. Like, why'd it have to be in your stomach region?
Or had them in the shoulder. But it might be something where, like, it's detectable if it's anywhere else. Because I forgot what it is. Can I read in the book? In the book, they use metals to do certain elemancies, and they can control metals and other stuff, and they can't control metal if it's inside someone else's body. So that's the only safe place. So it kind of makes sense that it's like that, but then again, couldn't it just be anywhere else?
That's how I kind of feel. I was just like, bro, like, you just put your whole life in danger for Pete.
Like, you couldn't have, like, sliced open a piece of the back of your forearm.
Something. Or,
like, sliced open your shoulder.
But, you know, it is what it is. That's where it's at. That's where it's going to be.
Yeah, like, what if someone just gutted him and his stuff just fell out?
What if someone, like, stabbed him and the exploding one exploded?
Yeah, but I also think that it might also be one of the safer places because, like, if you're thinking about, like, slicing stuff off, like, they slice off your arm and it's your forearm, you can't use it anymore. You slice off a leg, it's gone. I mean, the chest might be the other vital piece, but it seems weird. Like, that look almost looks fatal.
It does look fatal.
Yeah, he started coughing up blood. He was like, ugh. I was like, oh, God. It's like, what are you doing, my guy?
Cat got your tongue? Nah, it was just freaking hole I put inside myself. And how do you get it in there?
It's probably one of his family secrets so that they don't lose.
Well, that's how that is.
Yeah, because I'm like, ain't no way. It couldn't have been me. So
that looked rough, man.
Yeah, he was like, ugh! I was like, oh, there he goes. He's died. Suicide. Sempoku. But yeah, got anything else to add?
I don't really have anything else other than, hey, Solo Leveling this Sunday. Actually, today. I put this up on a Sunday. So today, Solo Leveling, today.
Yeah, I might watch it.
I mean, you watch it, you don't watch it.
I'm trying to live my life.
I'm going to watch it at least twice.
You would.
I would. Once for the cast, once for me.
Dang. Well then, go ahead and sit it on off.
Guys, that's going to do for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed, like, comment, subscribe, and we're out. Peace.
Peace.